Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, May 2nd. I'm Ray Graff. Today we tackle plumbing with Ian Cowan of On the Level Plumbing. He is here to answer your questions and concerns about your latest plumbing project or problem. To join the discussion today, call 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 tends to be a pretty popular program when we talk plumbing here. So call early, 800-348-2551, or you can email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. It's Plumbing 101 with Ian Cowan, and the lesson gets underway right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Now and again, we welcome Ian Cowan to these airwaves, Ian of On the Level Plumbing. He is here to answer your questions about drain lines, well pumps, sump pumps, you name it. You have a plumbing question, now's the time to call. 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You may also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org, but get your calls in now, 800-348-2551, as we welcome back Ian Cowan. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Ray. Thanks for having me.
Summer's here for a day.
And tomorrow, I hear. We'll see.
Tomorrow will be okay, and then by the weekend, it'll be...
It's cold again.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. You take what you can get. So things are going pretty well?
Absolutely.
Good, man. You ready to take a call or two?
I think we can handle that.
All right, let's do it. 800-348-2551, the number. Let's go over to Laura in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Laura, you're on.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear us?
Okay, yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a well, and the pressure, the water pressure is very low, and I'm wondering if the pump could be failing or what I can do to see if the expansion tank or whatever you call it is working correctly.
Okay, so Laura, is this a new problem or was it always like this?
No, it just started a couple weeks ago.
Okay. First thing you should check is, did anybody work on the system? Did anybody do anything to your water?
No.
Okay. So you may have a filter that may be clogged. Go ahead.
No, I change that pretty regularly.
Okay. So the next thing you want to check, it could be something to do with what's called the pressure switch. It kicks on. There's usually a 20-pound differential. So if it's a 30-56, when the pressure drops to 30, it kicks on, runs the pump till it hits 50. You're not getting spurts of water, right? It's not like pressure, no pressure, pressure, no pressure.
No, it's like if you flush the toilet, the water coming out of the sink is really slow.
Okay. You can also check the well tank to see if there's air in it or not air in it. If it's a newer tank, there's a valve that looks like a tire air filler thing. It's called a snifter valve.
Yep.
Right on the top. And if you just depress that just really quickly, just for, you know, a tenth of a second, if air comes out, then the tank is probably still good. If water comes out, that means the bladder's broken. But usually if that's the case, you'll hear the pump kicking on and off, on and off. So that's probably not the problem, but it doesn't hurt to check
it.
But it was probably something to do with your pressure switch. Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura.
800-348-2551, the number on this Vox Pop. Ian Cowan is here to answer your plumbing questions, and let's go to Vina in Fishkill.
Hi.
Hi, Vina.
I have a question regarding a water softener. I'm on town water, and I have a Kinetico unit, which I've had for 15 years, but now the resin is starting to degrade, and I'm looking to replace the unit. So is there something new out there that we could go with, or...
Sure. Kinetico still makes units. We don't really like to promote individual brands here, but what I can tell you is you want to look at the life expectancy of the softener and how long you're going to live in the house. So if this is the house that you're going to stay in for many years, you probably want to spend money on a better softener. And like you said about the resin, the way they rate softeners on length is how many times can that resin be rejuvenated or backwashed. So when you see the backwash on there, that's what they're doing. They're cleaning off those resin beads. They're positively charged. The minerals are negatively charged. So as the water passes through, they attach to these beads. Then they need to get cleaned off backwashed. So the that's what happens. It pumps some water into a brine tank, pumps that through the beads, cleans them off, it starts again. So those resin beads can only be regenerated so many times. So there's softeners on the market that will last you 4 to 5 years. There's some that will last 8 to 9 years, 15 years, 20 years, even up to 40 or 50 years. So it just depends on your particular situation. And I'm very familiar with Fishkill. That's in our area that we work. And I know that you don't have any problems with iron or pH, so all you need there is a softener. So you just test the water, and then it's based on the number of people in the house and the number of bathrooms. And then if you size it properly, you should be adding salt every 3 to 4 months, or potassium chloride if you don't like the salt. And then that will give you the different softeners will give you different lifespans. Okay.
Okay. Satisfied. Silence.
I guess so.
That's good. Our number is 800-348-2551. How long have people been using water softeners?
Longer than I know. Longer than I've been alive. So,
has the technology changed?
Yes and no. Not a whole lot. The basic concept is the same. There are companies that offer magnets and other things. We've talked about that on the show before.
And you're a little skeptical of that?
I am, because those companies tend to be around for a little while, then they go out of business, and then they start up under a new name. So I'm always a little leery of that.
Yeah.
You know, some people swear by them, and I'm not here to bash anybody's product, but
fair enough.
Just not something I'm comfortable with.
Ian Cowan is our guest. It is plumbing today on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Dan on the thruway. Dan. Uh-oh, did we lose Dan? Oh, hang on. Let's go
you
back.
You lost Dan.
No, I didn't. I didn't do anything. Dan, are you there?
No. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Hello?
Apparently not.
Hello?
All right, Dan, Dan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, there
okay,
you go.
Now we got somebody else on the line here. Hang on a minute. I think, oh boy. Let's try to.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah, we're going to hang that one up, and let's go back to Dan. Dan, are you still there?
Hello.
Yes. Can you hear us, Dan?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was wondering, I've got a particular drain at home that I have to keep using a Drano or liquid plumber on. And I've heard that that prolonged use of a Drano or liquid plumber or something like that can actually damage PVC pipe. Is that true?
Usually not PVC pipe. It may take off the outer coating of it, but the PVC pipe should be okay. If you had galvanized pipe or, some other type of pipe in there, you may have to worry a little more, cast iron. However, the PVC tends to not get damaged by that stuff. But the one thing, if it's a continuous problem, one of the things you may want to look at is, let me guess, it's either a kitchen drain or a laundry drain.
Hello, Dan.
Nope. He's not lit up.
He's not lit up anymore. Okay, we're having some issues here, aren't we? Let's go back to Dan. Dan, did you hear that question?
Yes.
All right.
It's a bathtub.
Okay. So one thing you may want to check is just try to remove the hair from the drain. But the other thing is make sure that it's pitched properly. Usually bathtubs are hair, and also a little bit of grease. All your soaps and detergents turn into grease, and they kind of coat the pipe. So if you have a little belly in the pipe somewhere, or if it's back pitched at all, that grease is going to really build up there. And when you use a Drano or a liquid plumber or any of those products, it basically just kind of eats a hole through it. And then that, once that happens, the product goes down the drain, so you're not eating it anymore. There are products on the market that will eat grease.
Yeah.
Bio products. There's several
enzymes.
Enzymes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Interesting. All right, Dan, thanks a lot. Boy, that was a struggle getting through that call. It wasn't Dan's fault. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And let's spin the big wheel again. Sandra in Niskayuna, you're on.
Hi, yes. My question is, I have a house that's over 100 years old. My toilets are 25 years old, and they are running all the time, or it takes a long time for it to refill. So my question is one, should they be replaced? And two, if I replace them, will it affect the 100-year-old plumbing in the house.
Uh-huh.
So the second part of your question first, no, it definitely will not affect anything to do with your plumbing. But the first question is, it depends on what you want to do. Those toilets can usually be rebuilt. We can take them apart and rebuild them most of the time, but probably 95% of the time you can do that. Parts are available even for really old toilets. It depends on what you want to do with your house. So a lot of times those 25-year-old toilets look a lot different than toilets you would buy today. So a lot of people that have the old house want to keep the old house look. So the faucets, we have to find, you know, specific faucets to fit sinks and toilets. We run into this all the time with these really old houses. So it's up to you. If you would rather have something modern, then it's not going to affect your plumbing at all, and it'll probably flush a lot better, and it'll be less water consumption.
I mean, could this just be a situation where the float is in need of adjustment?
Could be. Usually, and when we do it, we rebuild the whole toilet.
Yeah.
So basically everything in the tank, we take the tank off of the bowl, you get new seals, new bolts to secure it there, and then all of the insides except for the handle get replaced because once we touch a toilet, we own it for a year. We're going to warranty it.
Yeah.
So if I change the flapper and then next week the other thing's leaking, I got to come back. So we just do the whole thing.
Sandra, you want to follow up here before our break?
Yes. Did you have a number that I can make contact with you at?
You're not really in this.
We're not in this area, but
Never mind.
But thank you, Sandra.
I understand.
Okay, very good. Well, we appreciate that. Let's take a break here, Zach, the engineer. We'll take a look at the phone system and we'll find out. 800-348-2551 is our number. It is Vox Pop. It is plumbing today. You might get through. Give us a call.
Support for WMC comes from Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001. StoneSoupConcrete.com and on Facebook. Pelham Auto Service, at the Amherst-Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire, featuring We Plan, You Plant garden design service with on-site selection of nursery stock, tree, shrub, perennials, privacy hedges, and installation, whitneysfarm.com. Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York, providing seniors with transitional care and rehabilitation therapy as they move from hospital care to another level of care or home, daughtersofsarah.org. And George Heidel Antiques, Boston Spa, New York, specializing in buying and selling antique collections for individuals, families, and businesses, 518-396-7974.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, and the number to call is 800-348-2551. Ian Cowan is our guest today. We answer plumbing questions on this program every so often, and today is the day. A couple of emails here, Ian, and then we'll get back to the phones. This one, subject heading, is drainage. It's from Andrew. Is it legal to drain gutters into a building's main drain in the city of Kingston? Very specific question.
It's very specific, and we are licensed in Kingston, so yes, we can answer that.
Okay.
If it's already there, they're usually grandfathered in, but no new construction can have storm and sanitary combined. So they're separate drainage systems.
All right, splendid. This one is from Anna. In remodeling a bathroom, is it true that the toilet can't be moved more than 4 feet from a vent stack? If we have a vent stack near our laundry, can we attach the toilet to that stack, or does it have to be separate?
That's a very good question from a homeowner. I like that.
Yeah.
You have to...
First of all, tell us what a vent stack is for those who don't know.
So you have a pipe that leaves through the roof of your house.
Right.
If you pour water down there, it will go down and out your main drain of your house.
Okay.
So if you're on a septic system, that water will go into your septic system. If you're on a city sewer, it'll go into the city sewers.
Okay.
So what that does, and we've explained it a couple times here, but it's basically like if you take a straw and you put it in a glass of water, put your finger over the top of the straw and lift it up, the water stays. But if you move your finger, the water comes out.
Right.
So that's what your drains need. They need to have that airflow.
Mm-hmm.
So there'd be no displacement. You'd get airlock. So you have to vent. So on a toilet, you really want to be close to the vent stack because it's a large volume of water going out at one time.
Yep.
However, there are eight forms of legal venting in the United States, and you can vent it a little differently and run a vent from just under. See, a toilet's a little different because the trap is built into the toilet, mm-hmm. as opposed to if you look under your sink and you see that U-bend, the toilet actually has that. So the drainage pipe that's actually affixed to your house or in the floor just goes straight in. Mm. So the trap is built into the toilet.
Okay.
So we have to be close to that trap, and we have to vent that. So, yes, there are ways to vent that. You do not have to be right next to the stack. It just makes it easier.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you for that email, and we'll go back to the phones. The number here is 800-348-2551. I think we have it all straightened out now. Let's go to Richard in Waverly. Richard, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. So I've got a small house that doesn't get a lot of use, and about 5 years ago we put a new point. It's a point well, a new point, new pump, new tank, everything, and it has worked flawlessly for the last 4.5 years. About 6 months ago, I started noticing I was getting a lot of air in the system, and you turn the water on, and it will blast, especially on the hot water side, it'll blast a great deal of air for a second or two. When it finally works its way out, then it's fine. But it does this every time I go in the house to use the house.
99% sure that your problem is a hole or a leak in the pipe, not necessarily a hole. It could be a connection problem. But if you're getting air in the system, that means that there's a leak in the pipe between the bottom of the well and your connection point in the house. Usually it's going to be at your right at the well casing, or it's going to be near the house. That's usually where we find them, but somewhere you have a leak.
So it's a point well. So could it possibly be that the point's not deep enough, the water level's gone low, and it's starting to suck in from the top of the mesh of the point?
It could be.
Or is it possible?
The other thing is, I missed that it was a point well. So the other thing is the check valve at the bottom could just be bad.
There isn't one at the bottom of by the point. There's one at the top by the pump. And I guess what I was frustrated about is if there was a leak from the check valve to the bottom of the point, then it would slowly leak out, and then it would lose prime. But it's not losing prime. It's like every time you need water, the pump comes on and it pumps up. But so I thought maybe I was getting air in from there. The only thing I can think of, and if it was on the other side, there would be pressure on the other side of the check valve, and it would be leaking out.
Yeah, it's not
leaking out either.
Yeah, it's not on that side of the check. So it's either it's somewhere from the bottom of the well to the actual check valve that you see. There's somewhere in there, okay. There's a leak, and you just have to find that and fix it.
All right, Richard, thank you for the call. Ian Cowan is our guest. How did you learn all this stuff?
Years and years of work.
Your mom was a plumber?
Yes, she was. First statewide woman master plumber in the country.
That is amazing. Okay, and does she still do any work?
No, not plumbing. She actually works in Lowe's as a plumbing specialist.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Yes.
All right, Ian Cowan, let's go back to the phones here. And Ed in Ackard. Ed, you're on.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I have a question related to pressurized air in the water. I've always had, like, once in a while there'd be a little sputter or something, but it's gotten a whole lot worse lately, where just at random intervals, you know, explosive blasts of air will come out with the water and splash all over the place. And it's also, like, I'm wondering if it might be dissolved air in the water and for some reason it's worse, or some kind of leak. But one thing I did do is I turned the well off, and you know, I was going away for about 7-8 hours and checked the pressure on the pressure tank, and when I came back like 7 or 8 hours later, it had not dropped any. So there doesn't seem like there's a leak, at least on that side of things. So I'm kind of baffled what might be going on.
Ed, this is the exact same call we just had, the caller right before you. So this makes my job easy.
Yeah, I thought so, but he has a point well. I have a deep well.
Right, but you have you have a submersible well pump, correct?
Yeah.
So if there's any leak in the line or in the pump itself, the water will leak out. It'll drain back down. And then every time that pump kicks on, it pushes air into your tank.
Yeah.
So the reason you don't notice the leak on your side is because you have a check valve on your tank T assembly, it's called, that's on the side of your, you know, that comes out of the bottom of your tank. There's a check valve there. So that holds the water in the system. So the leak, again, is going to be the same thing between the bottom of the well and that check valve. Usually it's at the pitless adapter, right? And you can notice that if you pull the well casing head off and you have somebody engage the pump and you look down there with a flashlight, a lot of times it's right there at that connection called the pitless adapter where the horizontal meets the vertical pipe. That's usually
right,
where
right.
We find
I know that. Exactly what you mean. So the
okay.
pitless adapter might be leaking.
Yep.
So what, I would be out there with the cap off and a flashlight and then like drain the system down enough so that the pump kicks in.
Correct.
And then look for water dripping out of the pitless.
It probably wouldn't be dripping. It'd probably be spraying.
Okay.
Okay?
Huh.
All
okay,
right.
I'll check that. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Ed.
Before we take the next call, Ray, the other thing, just we tend to get a rush of calls that are a lot alike.
Yeah.
So
you
notice
that?
I think it triggers something. Somebody says, "Oh, I have that problem," and then they
right.
call. So let's just follow up on that for a second.
All right.
So if it's not there, it could be at the bottom, or it could be the pipe coming up. The pipe coming up could have couplings in it that are leaking. It could have, you know, a hole in the pipe from getting banged to the sides if
mm-hmm.
they didn't use torque arresters. But it could also be the internal check valve in the pump not holding. So every time it would pump up, then all the water would drain back down through the actual pump itself at the bottom of the
well. So this is a process of elimination?
Correct.
That could be a long lot of hours.
Well, if you know, if you've done it before and you know what you're doing, I mean, you can, if you pull that pump off of the pitless adapter, you can tell right away. If there's no water in the line, then
yeah.
you know that your problem is from there down.
So start there.
If that's, but I don't really want to recommend that people pull the well pump without knowing what they're doing, because they could drop it in, cause them thousands, tens of thousands of dollars of damage.
You make a point. Ian Cowan is our guest, and our number is 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Art in Gilderland Center. Art, you're on.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have another well question.
Oh, boy.
This regards an older well. I believe it's a driven point. In the past, my father-in-law put a pitcher pump on it and tried to work it and get some water at it, and he had no luck. And I'm to the point now where I'm looking to try to revamp this thing. It doesn't seem to be operating.
Okay.
It worked in the past.
You sure there's
not
water?
Now. Could it be just fogged? The neighbors seem to have water in their wells. And, you know, they're all kind of like on the same line as far as I know.
Well, the problem with that is that you can drill a well 20 feet away from another well, and you're getting different veins of water. So you're not necessarily pulling from the same source that they are.
Okay.
And so you may – there are companies out there, not something that we do, but there are companies out there that can camera that line. They have cameras small enough to go in there to look at it. They have they can drill a new well. They can drive a new point. There's a lot of ways to check into that to make sure that, you know, it's not something they can just, you know, hydrofrack and clean out.
Right.
Or, you know, but you're unfortunately without it's not something that you would really want to take on as a homeowner.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Right. So for a few $100, I can get it inspected or whatever.
Yeah, just have them inspected and give you an idea of what's going on, and then you can make your decision from there.
Okay.
Thanks
Art,
for the call, Art.
Thank you very much. And get a douser, right, to see if there's water around?
Believe it or not, I've seen that work on job sites.
Oh, come on.
I swear.
Really?
You've seen
dousing work?
I never believed it until I saw it.
And how would that possibly work?
I have
work?
No idea, but the guys that have done it by with just plain old, not even real dousing rods. They've just taken coat hangers and bent them, and they have found pipes that we were looking for. I can't do it.
I'm still skeptical, but
I can't do it.
You've seen it.
It.
Okay, very good. Let's go to Toffee. Judy in Massachusetts. Judy, you're on.
Oh, good. Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have been thinking about this for some time. I want to go green, so I would like to know how difficult it would be to take the gray water from the first floor sink tub and the kitchen sink and use that to flush the first floor toilet.
Real easy if you want to use a bucket and just pour it in there.
Hey, come on.
No,
I'm just teasing you, Judy. No, yeah. There's a way to do it.
I'm going to hang up and listen on the radio.
All right, that's good.
So Judy's asking about using what we call gray water, mm-hmm. and that's anything that doesn't have a toilet or a urinal.
Right.
Is considered gray water.
So
you would still have to—
Washing machine,
kitchen sink.
Yeah.
You're still going to get a little debris in there, so you have to filter it, and
right.
then we'll have to pump it back up. So depends on weather, you know, where you live. If it's cold and you have to find a way to do that and keep it heated so you keep it in the house,
mm-hmm.
Then you can just put a pump mm-hmm. in basically a holding tank and run that up to your toilet. So it's not very cost effective, but her reason for wanting to do it was to go green. So definitely 100% doable. You're not going to realize a lot of savings. She's
okay.
just going to help the environment.
All right,
and
let's
thank
go
you for that.
Over to Jerry and Fonda. Jerry, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I have an Amtrol hot water maker, and I have a drilled well, which yields good water, but it's mildly hard. So every 5 years since I've had it, and this year is its 30th birthday, I break the union on the top, drain the water out of the tank, and I pour muriatic acid in it to descale the coil inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty effective. The first couple times I did it, I drained the hot water maker completely down, all 41 gallons. The last couple of times, I was told that I only have to drain it down about 20 gallons to get to the top of that coil that's on the inside.
Correct.
And just pour the acid in with that. Now, are you familiar with that procedure, and what do you recommend?
Yeah, I think what you're doing is fine, but I for the radio here and for people that are listening that may want to do this themselves, like you are doing, I'm sure that you flush the tank before you put it back into use. So you.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you can cause a lot of damage if that gets into your drinking water, your
yeah.
bathing water. So you have to be very careful with that. But yes, it's we're very familiar with that. A lot of times, so you're descaling the outside of the coil that way. A lot of times, the Boilermate that you have, the Amtrol unit, is a good unit. There are some units out there that have a smaller diameter coil, and we have to acid flush the inside of the coil. So we do that as well. So, yes, you can do both, and you just have to be very careful, and you don't want that in your drinking water.
No, and you don't want to breathe it either.
Nope.
No, you might. Hey, Jerry, how's Fonda?
Fonda's fine.
Yeah.
Fonda's fair.
Where is Fonda?
It's, west of Albany.
Oh, okay.
Do they still have the car racing?
Yes, they do. Every Saturday night. It started last week.
Oh, man. It's been about 40 years since I've seen that. Well, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Toffee in Burlington is next. Toffee, you're on.
Thank you.
I love the name.
It's a long story. But I had three other doppelgangers, and I had to change it to keep my record separate. Okay, I have this 150-year-old house. My husband's family bought it back in 1912. And so it has had nothing done to it except what we have done. And this plumbing problem is up in the bathroom, which isn't very high up. But you turn on the hot water, and it comes out like regular pressure. And then it slowly goes down to a trickle and eventually to just a drip. And it starts to happen when the water starts to get hot. You know how it takes a while for it to come up from the
right.
basement to the second floor.
Yep.
And I wondered what's causing this, because I had the rental water heater replaced less than a year ago. And the piping, the copper piping up to the bathroom was redone about 20 years ago. It's good copper, and it's not galvanized iron anywhere from there down to the hot water.
Good.
So what could be causing it?
So that's the only place you get that, right?
The hot water is.
But it's just
been
to that
replaced.
One,
and
no. But the only place you're realizing this problem is in that one faucet, correct?
Yes, up
okay.
there. Well, it's in the faucet and the bathtub. It just goes down to a dribble on both of them.
On both of them. Okay, that's why I asked. So what you want to check is any valves in between there. A lot of times you can get some debris in the line. We've had this call a couple of times. And then once the water starts running, it could be a piece of a valve, a piece of rubber from an old valve. It could be something in the line that's getting caught on an old gate valve that's, you know, not closed all the way. Could be a bunch of things. But if it's happening on both units, we have to check the piping in between the heater itself and where it hits the point where it splits to go to the tub and the sink. And you'll probably find a valve of some sort in there. And then what you need to do is cut out a section of that pipe and then maybe turn it on, like change that valve, but run the water and clean out any debris that's in there, because it'll kind of work its way back down. And then as the pressure kicks on, it pushes that debris back up and gets clogged in that valve. So,
because the only valves are the ones you turn on.
No, there's going to be
the piping.
Could be a T there where it splits. If it's happening to both, and then again, I don't like to believe in coincidences, but it could be some debris got in both of those faucets, or the shutoff valves for those faucets, or the handles. You know, where the valve itself works. We've had that as well.
Well, that might be it.
Okay.
I think because the cold water and that's true. The cold water will not turn off on the basin, and the cold water on the tub flies out. The handle itself flies right out at your face, and water comes bursting out of that. Cold water comes bursting out of that.
Sounds like you need a plumber.
Is any licensed plumber know where to get parts for something that was redone in 1929?
Well, that's a good question. Is that sort of thing? Do they make retro versions?
Very common. I'm not familiar with Vermont. We work in New York, but
It's near here.
No, I'm not familiar with the plumbing places.
Oh, I see.
There. So, but yes, you need to find a service plumber. We have new construction plumbers that build houses and build buildings, and then we have service plumbers that rebuild things. So one of the first things I found when I moved to New York was I had to find a place that could get, you know, old parts and a place that could make. We actually have a place in Eastchester, New York that will actually build. You bring in an old stem and they will have one made for you to match.
Oh, boy.
So I'm sure that you have something like that in your area, or a lot of parts can be found online nowadays. So your plumber should be pretty savvy and be able to figure that out for you. We rebuild old stuff every day.
Okay. Toffee, thank you for the call. We have to take a break here. Our number is 800-348-2551. Ian Cowan is our guest, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, partnering in preserving historic New York through advocacy, education, grants, and loans so our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org. Slide and Dirty, serving handcrafted sliders, pub fare, and variety of craft beers and spirits in downtown Troy and Schenectady. Trivia every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Food truck catering available for events. SlideandDirty.com. Wild Bird Junction Backyard Nature Shop, 308 Delaware Avenue, Delmar. Offering wild bird seed, bird feeders, bird houses, bird baths, garden decor and tools, binoculars, chimes, and nature gifts. WildBirdJunction.com. Interactive Media Consulting, a team of online market strategists providing websites, branding, and digital marketing to the Capital Region and beyond since 1996. iMediaConsult.com. And Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts. Conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture, comprehensive pet care, and health services since 1998. WindyHollowVet.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you, and Ian Cowan is here. What a popular guest. The lines are loaded, and we'll do two emails and then back to the phones. We'll try to get to as many calls as possible. Ian, this one is from a regular correspondent, Bonnie, who writes, I'm planning on installing our first washer and dryer from scratch. We'll be doing our own plumbing. What advice do you have for us, and what are the errors most often made in siting, venting, plumbing, etc.? Good luck, Bonnie.
Well, yes, good luck, Bonnie. Yes, venting is the number one. So if it's not vented properly, you're going to have trouble. And then also, I would upsize it. I would make it a 2-inch drain line as opposed to an inch and a half. and I would make sure that your standpipe is tall enough. And that's the pipe that comes out of the trap. So the trap goes down, and then the pipe that stands straight up where you put your washing machine hose into.
Yeah.
The taller, the better.
How tall?
3-4 feet if possible.
Okay.
The newer washing machines use less water, but they discharge faster. So old washing machines were 1.5 to 2 gallons a minute, but a lot more water, so it ran a long time. These are sometimes 15 gallons a minute, so it's in and out, and it comes out quickly.
All right, this one is from Jamie. Being New York State requires traps on all sinks and toilets. Do I have to have a house trap? Whenever I have backups in the house trap, that is a problem.
So, Jamie, I agree with you 100%. I hate house traps. I hate building traps. And it was set up years and years ago. And the reason behind it was everything wasn't individually trapped. Mm. However, in the state of New York, there are a few cities that still require it. So you this have to check with your local ordinance.
So these are local ordinances.
It is.
Not
so,
a statewide.
No. And I'll tell you, like the city of Kingston that we talked about earlier, they hydro scrub their main drain lines
the
time. And if you didn't have that building trap, that would suck the water out of that, and you'd come home to a really smelly house because it would suck the water out of your individual traps. So there's a reason behind it for some cities, and some cities still require it. So you have to check your local ordinance.
Ian Cowan is our guest. Back to the phones. Glenn in Round Top. Glenn, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Good afternoon, Glenn.
I have a toilet from hell. I have two toilets in the house. One was the one I'm talking about is not under the original foundation of the house. It was built on later on.
Okay.
To a bedroom on the side, and it gets grungy and almost black and grungy a lot, especially in the summertime. And it's the bathroom, the way it's set up, it's lower than the main floor. And so you go into the bathroom, you got to step down about 8 inches and go into that.
So what do you mean? What gets black and grungy? The bowl or the water coming
the
out?
The bowl.
Or?
I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the bowl. Yeah. It constantly. Yeah. You know. It's like. You go in there and you clean it, and it seems like 20 minutes, 30 minutes later, it's grungy again.
Have you ever checked the? Did you pull the tank lid off to see if you're getting that same thing in the tank?
The tank is getting, because we have a lot of clay up here.
Okay.
It's getting kind of reddish or something like that.
But it's not the same. It's not getting that black in
there. No, it's not the same thing. No.
So I would, if it were me, and I was called out to the house there, and I would probably suggest we pull your toilet and put a camera in there to see if it was tied in correctly to begin with. Because if it's back pitched a little bit or it's lower, you may be getting, you may be getting water pooling in there. A lot of times these additions, if they're not, you didn't get them inspected or, somebody missed something,
or
the homeowner did it themselves.
Yeah.
So that would be my first guess is that there's enough there to let it drain, but it's probably too low is what it kind of sounds like.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem to flush as well as the other one is fine.
Yep.
On the other, under the original foundation, but this one doesn't seem to flush as well as that one. Too.
Yeah. It sounds like it's probably not pitched right or it's not tied in correctly.
Fixable?
Maybe. Well, no, I mean, worst case scenario, you have to open up the floor and redo the lawn.
Okay.
But I would say your first step is a camera. They're fairly inexpensive. Your local plumber should have just ask them when you call, do you have a camera?
Okay. Well, Glenn, thanks and good luck. We appreciate the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Ian Cowan is our guest. And Jay, where are you calling from, Jay?
Huntington, Massachusetts.
Okay. You're on the air with Ian Cowan.
Yeah, I've had a washing machine back up through the standpipe. I had to get a service plumber out there who ended up snaking the line from the main drain to the sewer system. Problem is, it's a ranch. The main drain is at one end of the basement, and the washing machine's at the far end, good 55 feet away. There is a 2-inch PVC line with some tilt to it. I know there's a standard for that, but I think that the blockage after snaking it was we found that the kitchen sink and the dishwasher enter into that same pipe roughly one-third of the distance from the washing machine, and that's what was causing the clog in the backup. But somebody said they never should have plumbed the sink into that 2-inch line when the house was constructed just 5 or 6 years ago. Would that be correct or
no?
Correct?
That's perfect. It's code. That's okay. They're allowed to do that. But did they ever snake the line between the washing machine and the main drain?
Yes, that's what they snaked. But they found the problem.
Gotcha.
Right where the sink was, essentially.
Gotcha. I thought you said they snaked the main one. Yeah, no, there's so the way we size plumbing is based on what's called DFUs, drainage fixture units. And you're based on the pipe size, that's you can put so many DFUs into it. So a 2-inch line can handle your kitchen sink and your washing machine. There's nothing against code for that, unfortunately.
Probably the real issue was just too much craft going down through the kitchen sink and or dishwasher.
Probably, or grease. There tends to get a grease buildup. As we say on the show all the time, all your soaps and detergents turn into a greasy substance that stays in there. And you get a lot from a dishwasher, you get a lot from a washing machine,
yeah.
And if they're both on the same line. So, again, there's enzymes out there that will eat that up. It's kind of like preventative maintenance. You change the oil on your car.
Let's talk for a minute about the enzymes, and thank you, Jake. Is this something you pick up at your local big box store and do yourself?
I'm not sure that the big box. I mean, they may
just
sell
a spoonful in the sink, and
it depends on which product you buy.
Yeah.
I would say I would prefer the liquid products,
yeah,
because they tend to react immediately.
Yeah,
and they usually there's a measure on there that you can buy them in like a half gallon jug, and
yeah,
then there's a cap measure on top. And you pour that down once a week or once a month, depending on how bad your drains are.
Well, that's
but
really
you should probably do it once a month, once they're flowing and running, just like you would, you know, change the oil in your car. You're maintaining your drains.
Yeah.
You have to maintain things.
Ian Cowan is our guest. Our number is 800-348-2551. We'll go over to John in Steventown. John.
Regarding a previous call, here's some trivia that's of no use whatsoever. I believe that the great actor Henry Fonda can trace his family back to Fonda, New York, and he may have been born there.
I'll be darned.
Okay. Bless you, sir, a plumber giving free advice. I live in a 1902 cottage. All of the plumbing and wiring was updated here about 32 years ago. Things are starting to go kablooey. But the main problem I've had, again, goes back to a stag vent and the toilet. For some reason, the pipe in the cellar goes across the house before it goes up to the roof where the vent is. And ergo, at times the toilet just doesn't flush properly, particularly after I take a shower. I have to plunge it. Once I do that, it works fine for a while, but if I take another shower, it doesn't flush. I've got to update some plumbing in the place. This is a first-floor toilet, a small two-story cottage. Should I reconfigure that vent and shoot it directly, vertically up to the roof from the toilet? Or does that make a difference? It's about 15, 20 feet from one end of the house to the other, and then it goes vertically up to the roof on the other side of the house.
It shouldn't matter if it's tied in properly under the ground, under the floor or the concrete, whatever it is. You said a cellar, so I'm guessing.
It's a rough basement, yeah.
Okay. So it's... When you flush the toilet, one thing you may want to check is look in the bottom of the shower, look in the drain, and, you know, with a flashlight, flush the toilet and see if that water starts to move. If that water starts to move a little bit, then it's definitely not vented properly or the vent is clogged. But just because the vent is long shouldn't cause you any problems.
As soon as I plunge the toilet, when it's not flushing, it goes out. And it goes out, you know, like crazy. But it seems mostly when I take a shower, for some reason, it messes up the toilet flushing, and I have to plunge in order for it to go down.
Yeah, it sounds like it wasn't vented properly to begin with, so I would definitely
I think it's a vent issue, and I need to maybe redo it and shoot it straight up to the roof directly above the toilet.
I agree with you, John.
All right, John, thanks a lot for the call and for the trivia. Our number is 800-348-2551. Our guest is Ian Cowan, and Whit in Clifton Park is next. Whit.
Hello.
Yeah,
I have a couple questions. My first one is my sump pit in the my basement. I noticed there's a drain coming into the house through the foundation, like a large diameter 6-inch pipe that drains water into the sump pit and then gets pumped back out. Is that a normal setup?
Yep. That's a pit? Yeah, that's normal. If they couldn't take it to air based on the level of, because that's usually like foundation drains, French drain kind of thing. So if they can't run that out somewhere to air, you drop it into a pump and then you can raise it up higher so you can take it to daylight or to air because you're not supposed to tie that into your sewer line.
Okay, because, I mean, as the floor drain, you know, inside the basement around the perimeter, that drains into the, you know, the sump pit.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing.
Okay.
All right, then I had another question. I think I've noticed on rainy days, heavy rainy day, that the shower drain doesn't drain as well or maybe slow. Does that make any sense?
It does. You have a vent, usually one or two or three pipes that leave in the roof of your house. And if you're getting a ton of water going down that drain, it's that same thing that we talked about earlier with the straw. You're not displacing the air the same because there's water filling up that pipe. Usually it happens like in a kitchen drain or a shower drain that's separate from your main stack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually you'll find a smaller diameter pipe, like an inch and a half or 2-inch pipe sticking out of the roof of the house. And I think you also said the house was older. So a lot of times they don't even the vents aren't really even properly sized for the size of the house and piping.
Okay, Whit, thanks a lot. We've got to move it along here. We're running out of time on this program. And let's go over to David in Glenmont. David.
Hello. Thank you, sirs.
You're welcome.
Hello.
Hi. Earlier, there was a pair of calls that were talking about some air bursts or bubbles or burping when you turn on the water. And I had the same problem here. I live in Glenmont, just south of Albany, Delmar area. I have a well that goes down 300 feet, and we have methane.
Okay.
And that stuff, when it comes back up and gets repressurized, basically the entire house system is like a bottle of seltzer water. Once you uncap it or open a faucet, the bubbles come out.
Okay.
You should probably have some treatment on that to stop that.
We do. We fix the whole thing. All the water goes into what it's technically a cistern. It's basically a 6-foot high by 4-foot diameter glass of water. No pressure with a fan.
Yep.
Because it's next to the furnace. We don't want to launch the house.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
Right,
exactly.
And it gets repressurized.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's the people who lived here before. The house was built in 1947. Everybody else thought this was funny.
Yeah.
When we bought the house, we put up with it for 2 years, and spitting showers and banging pipes and knocking toilets just got old.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, is there a question?
The formation does exist in places. It's probably the edge of the Marcellus Shale. It's not commercial enough to heat the house.
Yeah.
I'd do it if I could, but it's not enough.
All right, David, you got a question for Ian?
That's it.
Hey, man,
all
thanks
right.
a lot
thanks
for, the,
for
call.
The call.
Our number is 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Priscilla in Grahamsville. Priscilla.
Hello?
Priscilla.
Priscilla, we're running out of time.
Priscilla, you've waited so long. Oh, goodbye, Priscilla. I apologize. Anna and Gardner, you're on.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I have a question about sulfur remover. There is a filter that would remove just sulfur. I'm not interested in water softener or anything like that, just to remove the sulfur.
So we don't have much time, so I'm going to try to be quick. Do you have sulfur in the hot and the cold, just the cold?
Both.
Okay. So I would have somebody test the water to find out just to be safe, but usually that can be aerated out. So if it's coming in on the cold side, you'll have to do a treatment of usually hydrogen peroxide throughout the system, means your hot water tank, your well tank, all that fun stuff. And then you put in what's called basically an aeration tank. So the water comes in, it aerates through, and then there's a vent that comes out and it just vents right out. And usually that solves that problem.
Mm.
But there's two types of sulfur.
All right, explain. So, we have a minute here, or a minute and a half. What are the causes of sulfur in water?
Usually it's bacteria. Thanks for the call, Anna. Usually it's bacteria, and that's the byproduct of the bacteria. So in certain veins of your water where your well's coming in, you'll find this bacteria. And then there's another type of bacteria that lives in like the hot water tank.
Mm.
So, and then you get that buildup. And then there's also other problems with anode rods and tanks and other things. So there's several different problems, but when you find it in the cold, it's 99% of the time you can aerate it out. If it's just in the hot.
So you wouldn't have to UV or something to get rid of the bacteria?
Not usually, because it's usually just the byproduct of the bacteria. It's the gases. You always test the water and find out. Usually, if nobody's getting sick or if you have older people in the house or you have babies, you may want to treat it just for that, just for your own peace of mind.
Yeah.
But usually, you know, that's not something plumbers test for either. We take that out and have it tested just like mm-hmm. you would. But we test for iron, hardness, pH, sulfur, the basic things that would hurt your plumbing.
A certain amount of sulfur in the water, not terribly dangerous.
It's annoying, the smell, usually. Yeah. But a lot of times people will have it and they won't notice it, except in the morning when they go to brush their teeth.
Yeah.
Because they'll take a shower and the faucet's above their head, so the gas goes up, they don't smell it.
Well, Ian Cowan, how do people find out more about On the Level Plumbing?
You can go to our website, otlplumbing.com, or you can call us directly, 845-452-7555. We work from Westchester to Kingston, both sides of the river.
Lovely Westchester. All right, well, listen, man, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for having us, Ray.
Support comes from the 1850 House Inn and Tavern, historic bed and breakfast on the Rondout Creek in the Hudson Valley, now taking reservations for lodging and dining. Gift certificates available, the1850house.com. Capital Roots, making fresh local produce accessible to Capital Region neighborhoods. Healthy, affordable food should be a right, not a privilege. To learn more, capitalroots.org. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, presenting its 6th annual Lake George Hikeathon, July 5th. A one-day event with 19 hikes and paddles. Register online at lakegeorgehikeathon.org. And the Wild Center, Tupper Lake, New York, now featuring the Wild Walk, a nature trail across the treetops. Wildcenter.org for details. Thanks again to Ian Cowan for being here. Thank you for a bunch of great calls today. Sorry if we did not get to your calls, but the show's over, so if you're on hold, now would be the time to hang up. Tomorrow on the program, oh boy, astronomer Bob Berman is here. He emailed me today. He's very excited for this program. There are a lot of things to talk about, and that begins at 2 p.m. Right now, stand by for news.